Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you a little story this morning. As many of you know, when I was 23 years old, I was adopted. And when I was adopted, not only did I get the gift of a wonderful and loving mother, but I also got the gift of her mother, a wonderful and loving grandmother. I love JoJo. She had a wonderful, gentle spirit. She was kind and loving, incredibly generous to anyone who needed anything. But I often wondered, could I truly be accepted into her family? I had been adopted by my mother, and I knew that she fully accepted me. But adult adoption is really unusual, and it's rare, and my mother and I didn't really even know how to go about it, let alone others who are unfamiliar with it. And so I often wondered, even though I knew my grandmother loved me, could she love me as much as she loved her other grandchildren? The other grandchildren that she had welcomed into the world at the hospital, the other grandchildren that she had watched grow and had loved them their whole lives long. My answer came a couple of birthdays after I met her. When I opened the gift, well, let me first say that my grandmother loved China. She grew up in the Depression, and as one of 12 children, they had very little. And so as she became an adult and worked for 40 years, she loved buying pretty things for herself, and as such had several different patterns of China. We have Christmas china and everyday china and her wedding china. And then she had the birthday china. The birthday china, for every person in her family, she purchased that person's birth month place setting so that when we celebrated a birthday, each person sat at their chair with their place setting with the birth month on the plates and the cups and then the flower, the birth flower for that month. On the second birthday after I met JoJo, my gift from her was my very own place setting of birthday china. I was part of her family, and when we celebrated family birthdays, I had a place setting with my own birthday china at her table. It meant something to me because I knew that I was fully accepted and that I belonged and that she had embraced me and had welcomed me into her family. I was no longer a guest at her table. I was family. Beloved, this is the meal of our family. This is the meal of the family of God. At the font, we are adopted as God's beloved sons and daughters. We are marked with the cross of Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And in our baptism, we are also given a call to let our light shine so that others may see our good works and praise and glorify our Father in heaven. This is a beautiful calling, but it's a hard calling, one that we cannot in any way do on our own, for there is no good in us outside of God. But God gives us everything that we need to live into and fulfill this calling. God gives us the Holy Spirit and the nourishment and strength for our faith that we need in Holy Communion, in the bread and the wine, in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At this meal, we take into our bodies and our souls the very presence of Christ, so that our bodies may be the presence of Christ as we leave this place and go out into the world. Now, for most of us, we grew up believing this and knowing this, but today's gospel lesson reminds us of how radical this teaching and this belief is. In the gospel lesson, Jesus was teaching those who were following him that they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. We know these terms, we know these metaphors, but I'm sure for the first hearers of this word, it sounded an awful lot like cannibalism. In fact, when folks gathered in homes in the early church and people were outside these homes and they heard talk about eating the body of Christ and drinking Christ's blood, it caused a lot of concern and alarm, because who were these people who were eating people's flesh and drinking people's blood? It seems so familiar and common to us, but for Jesus's original hearers, for the early church, it was incredibly radical and unsettling and illogical. It was really difficult to believe, which is why all the crowds that were following him, they left. It was too hard to believe. They couldn't do it, and they left. And what remained were 12 people, the disciples. I think this might be a word for us, that sometimes there are going to be times when we are so faithful to the gospel and to Jesus' teaching that it's going to be hard for others to follow that and accept that, and they might leave. Jesus' teachings can be radical, unsettling, and difficult to believe. So I thought what we might do this morning is take a little refresher back through our catechism. How many of you remember studying Holy Communion back in your confirmation days? A few of you? Well, we have two sacraments in the Lutheran Church, baptism and Holy Communion. Both are gifts to us in which God gives us grace. We receive grace in our baptism, and we receive grace in Holy Communion. We literally get to ingest God's grace. When I say taste and see that the Lord is good before you come forward, you get to taste God's grace. Each sacrament contains an earthly element, water, bread, and wine, and it has been instituted by Christ. Those are the two criteria for a sacrament, that it contain an earthly element and that it is instituted or commanded by Christ. And as Lutherans, we believe that when God's word is spoken over the elements and it is proclaimed over the bread and the wine, that the presence of Christ becomes a part of them. This meal isn't simply a remembrance or an acknowledgement of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus' very presence becomes part of the bread and wine when God's word is spoken over them. Martin Luther wrote this: "The true body and the true blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and the wine." It is true indeed that if you take the word away from the elements or view them apart from the word, you have nothing but ordinary bread and wine. Right now, we just have bread and wine on the altar. But in a little bit, God's word will be prayed and spoken over these elements, and Christ's presence will become a part of them, in and under them. I don't know how all this happens, but it's one of the beautiful mysteries of our faith that when God's word is attached and bound to the bread and the wine, they become for us Christ's very body and blood. Some of you have heard this story before, and I'm sure you'll hear it again because it's one of my favorites to tell. But years ago, the very first time I attended a Lutheran church, I knew that my soul had found a home when the pastor offered the post-communion blessing. "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace." I knew when I heard those words that the elements that I had just taken into my own body, they weren't symbolic. I hadn't just eaten bread and wine. I had taken into my body Christ's body and blood. And Christ's body and blood had the power to strengthen me and keep me in God's grace. I still, when I get to say those words now as pastor, feel incredibly moved and humbled. Luther also writes this, that communion is food for the soul. This is the original soul food. It's food for the soul because it nourishes and strengthens the new creature. We become new creation in our baptism. And every time we come to God for forgiveness of sins, God continues to create us anew and anew. We are new creations, and God nourishes us and strengthens us for the work that God has us to do in the bread and the wine. Luther says this, "The Lord's Supper is given as daily food and sustenance so that our faith may be refreshed and strengthened, and we may not succumb to the struggle, but become stronger and stronger." I like that because there's acknowledgement that life is a struggle. Life is hard, and right now it seems like life is really, really hard. We're more than 20 months into a pandemic. It's recently gotten worse, and we're having to remask and be careful again. I've known two people this week who have died alone from the virus, even though they were vaccinated. We're weary of the virus. We're weary of the pandemic. We're weary of seeing so many people struggle and be in pain in Haiti, in Afghanistan, here in Davidson County, in our own families and in our own lives. Life is hard, and there are a lot of struggles. Not to mention, our sin-sick selves are always prone to wander and leave the God that we love. But then every Sunday, we come back to this place, to this sanctuary, to confess our sin, to receive forgiveness from God, to remember at the font who we are and whose we are, and to be fed and nourished so that we might be renewed and strengthened for the work that lies outside of this place. Brothers and sisters, come today and come regularly to our Lord's table. Come and let your faith be refreshed and strengthened. Come and receive forgiveness of sin. Come and receive God's grace and comfort. Come, let Jesus nourish your body and your soul. At God's family table, there is a place just for you. Amen.